Welcome back to the podcast, guys. This is just going to be a short podcast update. Skylar has made the decision to switch over to more of the breakdown episodes. So we will be bringing in Mike Messina to help out with more of the interview style format.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
So the idea behind this episode was actually to just have a little bit of an introduction to Mike before we get into the other interview episodes. So Mike, do you think you could tell the audience a little bit about how we met?
Yeah, totally. So both of us being students at Binghamton University, we were both, you know, very involved with clubs and organizations and stuff like that, student organizations. Right. And so eventually this girl, Emma, shout out to Emma, caught wind of both who I was and worked with me a bunch, and apparently also knew you and worked with you a bunch. And so she said, hey, these two guys seem to have a very similar sort of an energy, some similar interests. Right. So she told me about you and I guess you about me. Eventually we got together, just sat down, had lunch, chatted a bit, and it turns out we had a lot in common. So at that point at Binghamton, I was very involved in the Asian American community. So I was president of the Asian Student Union and also a magazine and sort of media club called Asian Outlook, which I guess is where a lot of our common interests really sprouted up. So that was a club where I was doing things like sometimes videos, sometimes blogs, sometimes podcasts as well.
And you mentioned Outlook and your podcasting experience. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about the Asian Outlook podcast.
Yeah, definitely. So actually, funnily enough, I guess my love for podcasts is actually sort of rooted in my martial arts experience. And we'll get to this later. I'll talk about it a little bit more. But basically, I went to a martial arts instructor certification camp. And the instructor there was obsessed with these like self-development guys. And he kept quoting Zig Ziglar. And so that sort of pushed me into the self-development sphere, which is now sort of synonymous with podcasts. And so from there, all these self-development podcasts I was listening to, I started listening to Art of Charm. I started listening to video game podcasts like IGN's Podcast Beyond. And from there, it had been a huge dream of mine to sort of start my own. And so going into college and becoming eventually secretary and then president or editor-in-chief of Asian Outlook Media, I thought to myself, okay, how can we really modernize this? And the answer there was a podcast. And so we called it Inside Outlook, which was a pun name that everyone loved. And our whole thing was just going around the Asian American community and interviewing Binghamton people, whether they were students or staff, whoever it was.
Sharing stories.
Yeah, exactly. Just interviewing people, getting to know what made them tick, and also how we could take their life experiences and then really turn that into some sort of wisdom or value to help inspire and inform other college students who are often trying to just figure out what their next steps in life are.
Right. Yeah, of course, man. I kind of want to get into your martial arts experience because that's what this podcast is all about. Maybe if you could tell the audience a little bit more about what it was like doing martial arts.
Yeah, so I started when I was really young, before 10 years old, probably 6 or 7 years old, something like that. I'm Korean American. I'm also adopted. So my whole family is Italian, actually. So they really stressed from early on that I have some sort of activity or something like that that's rooted to my heritage or my culture. And for me, we tried a bunch of things. Yeah, and for me, that was Taekwondo is what really stuck because that's Korean and I'm Korean. So I started doing it. Eventually, I found I was pretty good at it. I fell in love with, first it was forms. I really loved being able to really rehearse this one thing over and over again and get it super crisp and super sharp. Mm-hmm. And then eventually from there, it turned into a love for the more practical applications of it. And for me, that was sparring. I loved sparring. And eventually I was sort of handpicked by my instructors to say, okay, let's fly down from New York to Texas through this organization called United Professionals. And from there, I was able to become certified as an official martial arts instructor. And from there, I started, again, getting formal training for how to teach these classes. I was teaching kids classes and then eventually teen and then adult classes. From there, that was a huge confidence booster in me as well. Martial arts is great for that, for instilling confidence in people who might need some help in that department. And just being able to get up and speak to people every day, pretty much, it was like teaching a class was almost like a public speaking practice every day for several hours a day. So that, again, really helped develop me as either a leader or just as a person in general. And from there, I was introduced into Krav Maga, which was a totally different style. Before that, I'd been encountering things like Wing Chun or things like Aikido, but Krav Maga was a totally different tone from all the other traditional martial arts that I'd done before. From there, I was really starting to get a feel for what martial arts could be. And after that, I started to seek out these other styles that are more applicable for street fighting and for actual self-defense. So that brought me to Krav Maga. It also brought me to things like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, and MMA, all while still, you know, retaining that real affinity and love for traditional martial arts, things like your Definitely. Taekwondos or your karates.
Yeah, so Mike is a certified pro. and he will be handling everything on the martial arts side. As you guys know, I know a little bit about martial arts, but more of my forte lies in the film experience. So he'll be covering more of the martial arts side for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'll try. I'll do my best.
Yeah. But speaking of film experience, I do kind of want to get into what is your film experience like? If you could touch upon that too. Screenwriting as well and whatnot.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So, you know, like anyone, I grew up watching movies, anything from Pixar to horrible Saturday morning cartoons or whatever it is. Yeah. eventually, like a lot of people in our age bracket, I think it was YouTube that really sparked my love for anything screen related. So videos or films. For me, it was mostly Freddie W and Rocket Jump, as well as guys like Corridor Digital, who are also part of that crew. Or guys like Smosh who are making funny sort of low-budget skits, I suppose. But really, Freddie W. and the Rocket Jump crew, being able to go through these high-quality pieces of entertaining content and then also have these behind-the-scenes videos where they would seem down-to-earth, seem like they're having a really fun time doing it, and be able to really systematically break down the knowledge and the technique and the logic of how to do this. And then 100%. The next step for me in understanding film after that, and shout out to my friend Trent, because he's someone who was also on this sort of love of film journey with me throughout my younger years. We started to really watch guys like Jeremy Johns or Chris Stuckman, who were reviewing films that would come out in the theater and who would be super down to earth and chill and really fun guys on the internet. But then they'd also be using these terms like thematic development or character development or pacing and things like that. So that just further added to my appreciation of film and taught me what a film could be and the different aspects and different lenses through which to see film as a storytelling medium. From there, I fell in love. I started listening to podcasts. One podcast in particular, Story Break, is a screenwriting podcast that's also by the Rocket Jump guys. That really inspired me to jump into screenwriting because I'd always been a writer. English was always sort of my thing. Writing, you know, everything from poetry to stories. So screenwriting was sort of a natural jump for me. And I started to use those muscles a little bit through those student organizations that we were talking about before. All of those Asian American orgs would put on these big shows with little mini plays sort of in between each, you know, cultural dance or cultural song that was performed for these big cultural theater showcases. And before I'd come along, it was sort of just this funny little thing to string along the show. But I really wanted to elevate that and turn it into something that has character growth and development. And from there, I took those skills and experience and really translated it into some screenwriting projects that I'm doing now. Some of it with Darren, some other ones with the university's backing. So I'm really excited to sort of see where this screenwriting path will take me in the future.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go into the section of action movies. If you were to give the audience probably a feel of what your top five favorite action movies are, ranked.
Oh, okay. The stakes are higher now. Let's see. So we'll start at number five, I guess. Let's start at number five.
Yeah.
Let's see. As someone who was a kid growing up doing martial arts, I feel like number five has to be Karate Kid. Karate Kid is, you know, as both, you know, you have Daniel-san, who's this fish out of water kid who just moved as an Asian American growing up without a whole lot of Asian American friends around him. That was definitely something I could relate to. And then seeing him go on this journey and use these martial arts and these incredible sequences was always compelling to me and is still compelling to me. And now we have Cobra Kai, the series, which is fantastic. I'd highly recommend that as well.
100%.
Let's see. Number four, I'm going to go The Patriot. I was always a big fan. Not always, I'll say, actually, but for a while, I was a fan of U.S. history. And so seeing this really cool human depiction of everything that went down in that pretty epic historical period, America being the ultimate underdogs in that Revolutionary War. Mel Gibson, yeah. Come on. Seeing him, you know, he's out there in that one scene where he's ambushing this cart of redcoats with his kids.
Yeah.
Aim small, miss small. Fantastic.
Definitely.
Let's see. Number three, I'm going to go Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi films, the Tobey Maguire films.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yes, I've always been a huge Spider-Man fan. These were big films in my childhood. I've seen them 1,000 times. And there's something so cool from an action perspective about Spider-Man. He has this unique physicality about him and unique powers where he can shoot webs from his hands to have these really tangible, interesting, essentially like ropes or webs, I suppose, to work with. And then him, he's strong, sure, but he's also extremely almost bouncy. He's springy. He's mobile. And in that film, fighting Dr. Octopus, who also has this really interesting skill set with his mechanical arms, it made for some very, very interesting fights, especially the incredible train fight scene between two of them. Love that movie. Underrated movie, by the way.
Yeah, definitely.
What are we at? Number two? Let's see. You know, Aliens is great. Dark Knight is great. I'm going to go Hot Fuzz. The Edgar Wright film.
Oh, Simon Pegg. Okay.
You know, as someone who was really inspired by Rocket Jump and Freddie W., action comedy is fantastic. And even though, definitely, of course, Jackie Chan is right up there with action comedy, Hot Fuzz had such a unique flavor and rhythm to it, to the editing, in a way that you could only pull off that sort of comedic storytelling in the medium of film. And that's a huge reason why I love that film so much.
Definitely. Yeah. Has a lot of heart to it.
It does. It does. Some interesting plot twists too, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Simon Pegg is just great, though.
He's fantastic. The whole Cornetto trilogy that he's got going on with Edgar Wright, fantastic. We were just talking about Scott Atkins, and I said I'd love to see an Edgar Wright film starring Scott Atkins. That would be crazy. Oh, yeah,
dude. It seems like he's right down that alley.
Yeah, yeah. They got the accents and everything, so there you go. Let's see, number one. And this list changes day to day, by the way. But for number one, I'm going to go Mad Max Fury Road. We've talked about this film before between the two of us.
Yeah.
This is a film I talked about my friend Trent before. I've snuck into one rated R film, and that was with my friend going into Mad Max Fury Road. And this is after they digitized the theaters. So we had to plan out this whole special ops mission, how to sneak into this theater without getting caught, because everyone had pre-sale tickets and they could track scene and stuff like that. It was a mission to get in here. But seeing that film, just the trailer, we knew this was something special. Seeing the practical effects, honestly, combined, and this is something that no one talks about. Everyone talks about the amazing practical effects for that film, but seeing it blended in with the insane, you know, sandstorms and things like that, that would really be the virtual effects aspects of it. Seeing them blended together was phenomenal. And seeing little visual storytelling things about the world as well. I remember in the trailer, one of the trucks, one of the rigs, dropped a big plow in front of it, and then a cloud of sand sort of popped up. I thought from the trailer, I guess it's like a sand cover. But then I saw the film and I realized, she's dropping the rig's plow to make a sand cloud to then put out the fires that are on the rig further behind them. And that was crazy to me. And without a word of dialogue, I think Mad Max set some sort of a record for having the least lines of dialogue in an action film or something like that. And that's just because the visual storytelling is so logical and so well done.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic film.
All story through action.
Yes, exactly. That's like the epitome of what action storytelling can be, is no dialogue. Just show me visually what's going on. Tell me about the characters. Tell me about the conflict. And that's what action filmmaking is in a nutshell, really.
Well, this is going to be the start of many great episodes with Mike Messina. I can't wait for you guys to hear the interviews that we recorded, and we hope to keep creating high quality content for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much again for bringing me on, and I'm looking forward to all the episodes that are going to come out.